Welcome to Get Unstuck and Make Shift Happen with Jennifer Grace on Empower Radio, a show to help you get from where you are to where you truly want to be. Now here's your host of Get Unstuck and Make Shift Happen, Jennifer Grace on Empower Radio.
Hey, everybody. This is Jennifer Grace, and welcome to today's show. Super excited about the show today, as always. Love doing this. Before I dive in, I always want to remind you guys that each week I host different online masterclasses, free classes. So if you want to indulge in a little manifestation of love, you can go to jennifergrace.com/free stuff. And that is the masterclass coming up this week. And of course, if you are listening to this as a recording, just go to jennifergrace.com/free stuff. There's always great free stuff there, meditations, little giveaways, and lots of powerful masterclasses. So please join me anytime for any of those. It is my pleasure. It is my gift. I love sharing these amazing tools of transformation. Also want to let you all know that I have a brand new class that I just launched. It is a 4-week experiment all about money. And I've just come off the pilot of this class, and there was enormous amount of success by myself and the students that participated. So if you want to dive in and check out really how to work with this energy field that surrounds us all to manifest what you're wanting to manifest, especially around money, because this class is called Money and Miracles, you can go to jennifergrace.com, and under my online courses, you'll see the different offerings. One of them is Money and Miracles. The next one is coming up on June 26th through July 17th, 2016. And the class is on Sundays from 11 to 12 in the morning. This is a really fun course. It's a 30-day experiment, and the hypothesis is, what if you harnessed all of your power and all of your energy and just focused it on manifesting more abundance and shifting your limiting belief systems, what would happen? And so my students and I, there's 1 week where the mantra is, I am manifesting unexpected money. And the most random things started to happen to all of us. So great success with this new program. If you are listening, I will give you a little gift. If you type into the promo code the word gift, you will receive 40% off this brand new course. So please take my gift and join me on the Money and Miracles course. So that's what's coming up next. And then also the CIJ, the 8-week Stanford University master's degree course that I teach. That's also starting on June 29th, the summer session online. So you can go check that out again at jennifergrace.com. So that is all the business that we have to talk about today. So now I want to dive into today's show. And today's show is definitely more geared towards those of you that are in a current relationship and wanting to reignite the spark and get the excitement back in the relationship, in the bedroom, shift it from a regular relationship to a next level sacred partnership. And most importantly, there's going to be lots of very powerful communication tools that you're going to learn to really be able to move through your relationship with a lot of effortless ease and a lot less drama. So if you love the drama, you're not going to like the show, because I firmly believe that drama is a waste of energy. There's so much more that we all could be doing. You know, we are these amazing creative beings. And if we spend our time having all of these expectations and judgments and, you know, blaming and shaming and criticizing our partner and having to be right, it's just a waste of time in my eyes, you know? So there's a great saying, I'd rather be happy than right. So gonna teach you guys Marshall Rosenberg's conscious communication system, as well as a ton of tools that I've gotten along the way. And I will say, like, I seriously feel like I am a testament to this work. I am in a pretty new relationship. It's been a year and a half now, but it's still in the honeymoon phase. But regardless, by now you would think we would have had a little spiff, a little fight, a little tiff, a little awkward moment. But believe it or not, Seb and I have gone over now a year and a half without one single bicker. And that's pretty flooring, honestly. It's kind of crazy that, and we're just like, oh my God, should we make up a fight? Should we just have a fight to have a fight? Is it unhealthy? And, you know, no. It's really interesting. My friends ask me, like, how the heck are you guys doing that? And I started witnessing myself. I started witnessing myself when he would say something and I wouldn't agree with it, right? So that's usually when the bicker starts, right? You need to be right and they're wrong and you've got to prove your point and yada, yada. And so then I would watch myself go, oh yeah, no, that's not correct. But then there was another part of me that would say, yeah, but this isn't worth it. This is not worth picking a fight over this right now, you know? And thank goodness I didn't, because, you know, like, 2 days later, it would come around that he actually was right and I was wrong. And I'm so glad I didn't open my big fat mouth and put my foot in it. The other thing we use a lot is Google. I think it's the most powerful tool for couples. You know, when we are in a disagreement about something, we don't even get into it. I'm like, Google it. Just let's Google it. Let's not even get into it. And the other thing that I watch myself, you know, I just say to myself, it's just not worth it. It's just not worth it to argue. It's wasted energy. You know, I'm in the middle of building an empire of peace and trying to change the world and, you know, bring healing and joy and creativity to everyone that I encounter. So I ain't got no time to be arguing with my man. You know, so we really have to look at, why are you picking fights? Why is there drama? You know, is it that you're so bored in your life that you've got nothing better to do? Is it that you're in a toxic relationship that you shouldn't even be in the first place with somebody who isn't interested in conscious conversation? Or is it that you grew up with so much conflict and so much drama that that feels more comfortable than peace? So, you know, those might be some interesting questions to take to your journal if you're finding that your partner and you are constantly bickering over little things that don't matter, you know. So anyway, I am very excited to dive in. And what I want to do is first just make some distinctions, because most of us are in relationships, right? We're in a love relationship with our partner. And that was the only kind of experience I ever had until I met Dr. Christine Kaisinger. And I actually had her on the show, I think it was last month, and we did a whole show about sacred partnership. So if you want the abridged version, definitely download that other show. That is specifically about sacred partnership. But I do want to make some distinctions, because when I met her, she brought to the table this new paradigm, this new way of being with a partner that I had never experienced and definitely had longed for. And she made it tangible. She made it concrete. I could actually visualize what this would look like, two conscious people coming together for each other's personal development. you know, we hear that Jerry Maguire, you know, you complete me, or my better half, or my other half. And this model, this sacred partnership model, is more about two whole people coming together without any codependence, just there to support each other on their journey to bring the best out of each other. And, you know, there is something called sacred contract. And I truly believe that we have more than one soulmate in this lifetime, and that people come at different points in our lives to help us grow and transform. And sometimes the day comes when that is over and that relationship comes to an end. And that doesn't mean that you failed. That doesn't mean that, you don't love each other and respect each other. It just means that now you've grown in different directions and it's time to go to the next partner. Now I'm in this current relationship with the intention, honestly, that we do spend the rest of our lives together. In this very moment, I could say that it would make me very joyful that he is the partner that I have for the rest of my life. But I don't know that. Things change, things shift. And the phrase that I use, that we both use in this relationship, is happily ever now. You know, that whole happily ever after is just tied up with fantasy. You know, we are fed these fairy tales as very young children that we're all going to, you know, ride off into the sunset and everything's going to be perfect. And when it doesn't quite go down like that, there's lots of disappointment. Like, we hold this big expectation that you will be with me forever and this will be perfect. And once you put the ring on the finger, then the magic will begin. Well, that's actually when the work starts a lot of times. And many people skip over the courting, the dating, the sexy part of the relationship. And, you know, they're sitting there on their second date. And I will say women tend to do this more than men. And they're already picking out their bridesmaids' dresses, you know, and they're on date number two. So, you know, I'm here. It's been a year and a half. And granted, we are not interested in having more children. I already have Cole. He's satisfied with that awesome relationship. And financially, we don't need health insurance and all the things that kind of come with the institution of marriage is not necessary for our partnership. But also, it's just so fun being in that courting, that dating. Like, we still go on so many fun date nights and we really enjoy this moment, happily ever now. So it's a really great tool to kind of reel yourself in from being ahead of yourself, you know, to really stay where you are and be in the stage that you're in, right? So, happily ever now. So let's talk about these different relationships, right? Kind of like relationship versus sacred partnership. I think this is a really good conversation to really get this distinction. And then we're going to start going into some really good communication tools. So Gary Zukav says, what is sacred partnership? And he replies, a partnership between equals for the purpose of spiritual growth. And that's what we were just talking about, that you come together with the intention for your own spiritual unfolding, for your own personal development. And this person gets to be your mirror and shows up in ways that you get to see yourself. So sacred partner versus relationship. So sacred partnership is all about independence, that you are self-sufficient, you are self-reliant, you are responsible for giving yourself love and care and admiration, and you source yourself, and that's who you are. And then you show up next to your partner, and anything that you give each other is the cherry on the cake, because the cake is already you. You don't need that person to fill your holes, right? You fill your own holes versus codependency. And codependency is a biggie. A lot of people come together in relationship, and what happens is they lose themselves. All the things that they love to do, their hobbies, their interests, their friends, their work, it completely collapses, and they then take on their partner's interests and hobbies and friends, and they give all their power away and all their passions away, and they lose who they are. Codependency also shows up in when you're in a relationship, you are unhappy, but you think, oh, this is better than being alone. I'm just going to stay in this relationship because I need love. I may not get it elsewhere. And so I'm just going to stay and in this unhealthy environment. There's a great book called Codependent No More. I'll say that one more time. Codependent No More. I think the author is Melanie something, but you guys can definitely find that in Amazon, online. And so that's a very powerful book, and it kind of breaks down all the different codependent types. So if you have an inkling that you might be a codependent, and that might be bringing some unhealthy kind of patterns to your relationship, I highly recommend that you read it. They also have, believe it or not, groups for codependents, like the same as Alcoholics Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous. It's codependent, anonymous. It's like an addiction, that you are so addicted to love that you will overlook everything just to get the love. So if you feel like you might be a love addict, you are also a codependent. So I will out myself right now, coming out of my marriage and some other of my relationships, I realized that I was a classic love addict. That's not to be confused with a sex addict, which I was not. I was a love addict, meaning it didn't matter who it was, as long as I was in relationship and they were good. Okay, you're good. We're good. Good. And I realized on my 40th birthday that I had gone from 16 years old to 40 without ever being alone. I went from relationship to relationship to marriage to relationship to relationship. I mean, wow. All of that time, never being by myself. And that's a part of being a love addict. You're afraid to be alone. You'd rather be with anybody than to be alone. So when I did this exploration and I took my entire 40th year off, did not date anybody, it was very painful. The first 3 months, I felt like I was out in the cold without a coat. You know, I would walk into a room, to a party. I felt so less than because I didn't have a partner standing next to me. Like, it was amazing. I could barely sleep at night alone in my bed. I mean, it really was awful. But I pushed through it and I got through to the other side of it. And then I really started to enjoy my own company. If you are in a long-term relationship, I think it's very important to take breaks, to take independent vacations, to take nights away where you're just with your friends or you're just having alone time. You know, if you're with your partner and you do every single thing together, that's also not healthy. There's a wonderful book for those of you that have been in very long-term relationships, have children, have been down this road for 10 years or more with the same partner. It's called Gift from the Sea. Gift from the Sea by Anne Lindbergh. She was married to Charles Lindbergh, who was the co-pilot with Amelia Earhart. And she wrote a book in the 1950s called Gift from the Sea that could have been written yesterday. I mean, what timeless wisdom. And she remarks in this book that what kept her marriage healthy for a very long time and kept her sane with her 5 children was her 2-week vacation that she took alone every year. and she would go to the sea and she would write and be alone. One of the weeks her sister would join her, but the other week she would be completely in solitude. And I highly recommend this for couples, that you take these solo vacations, and really do that internal work, get that space, get that clarity. And when you come back, you know, I think self-care is the most selfless thing that we can do, because then we don't resent. We come back refreshed, recharged, reconnected to ourselves. We can then be better partners, better parents, better friends, better coworkers when we do that extreme self-care. So I think, what an indulgence, you know, it might even just be so shocking to some. Me taking a vacation alone, spend all that money on me, but have your partner do it simultaneously. Send them off in one direction to the mountains. You go to the sea, you know, do somewhere where it is like retreat. I don't think a trip to Vegas, is what I'm talking about here. I think you guys know what I mean. A place where you can take walks, you can journal, you can meditate, you can have time for reflection, you can work on a creative project, you can read books and cook for yourself and eat healthy foods and just really unplug. And it might also be a great thing where you don't really bring a lot of technology and you also say goodbye to your partner. I will talk to you in a week, and you have no communication for the week. I'm telling you, this will make the heart grow fonder. It's wonderful to miss your partner. You know, it just reignites the whole relationship when you come back in after taking time out for yourself, so refreshed and recharged, and you're excited to see each other again. You know, it's fun to miss each other. Sacred partnership versus relationship, unconditional love versus conditional love. I will only love you if you make the bed every morning. I will only love you if you are romantic with me in this particular way. I will only love you if, you know, you do X, Y, or Z. This is how we show up in relationship. True love is unconditional. And somebody said something to me once, I think it was Thea Sommer, one of my coaches. She said, you cannot be in love with someone's potential. And I'll say that again. You cannot be in love with someone's potential. Unconditional love is being in full acceptance of all of their flaws and all of their greatness in one moment. Completely accepting who your partner is in the here and now. If you are in love with their potential, saying, well, I'll love them when they're successful in their business. I'll love them when they finally lose the weight. I'll love them when they learn how to romance me in the way that I want to be romanced. You're going to be living a very disappointed existence. And Elizabeth Gilbert said a great quote in her book, Eat, Pray, Love. And I'm going to probably just have to paraphrase this because I don't have this in front of me. But she talks about the fairy tale when you first meet somebody and you create this character of who they are, right? And they create the character of who they are. But when they don't fulfill the role that you have cast them in, you're disappointed. And who could fill the shoes? You know, sometimes we create these, you know, knight in shining armors and these beautiful, perfect princesses, and we all put on the mask and we don't show our stuff, our real stuff in the beginning of dating. And as the masks come off, we see that we have this person, this real person with lots of flaws. We hide those flaws from each other. And then the whole thing crumbles, you know? So for those of us who've been in these long-term relationships, obviously the mask is off, you know? But you still might be living in that I'll be happy when, and in love with their potential. So I'm constantly just bringing myself back to who this person is in front of me, and loving and respecting and caring for him and exactly who he is, not trying to fix or change him, just loving him unconditionally, which is an interesting thing for me as a coach, because of course, you know, I want to help and fix and change and transform. And, you know, that's not my job. I'm not my boyfriend's coach, and he really is perfect just the way he is. I love every single thing about him. And that's really important, to have in a relationship. The next piece is conscious communication versus drama. And we talked about that a little bit in the beginning. And when we come back after the break, we're going to get into some really juicy conscious communication tools so that you can move from drama, fighting, from blaming and shaming and criticizing into a technique that you can use anytime, anywhere to take the conflict from a 10 to a 2 and really move into a place of sacred communication. So we will get to that when we come back.
Hi, Dad.
Hey, sweetheart. Where's the little guy? In school?
Yep, just dropped him off. Is your hair getting whiter, or is that paint?
Actually, I'm painting your old room.
Did you take down my David Cassidy posters?
Nah, I painted over them.
Dad!
Just kidding.
Why were you painting my old room?
You had a purple room.
Moby Grape.
Well, your mom and I are upsizing. We're hosting a foreign exchange student from Cairo.
What about me and your grandson?
Come on, it'll be a great experience for everybody.
We'll never see you. You'll be taking her to the museum and the zoo and...
Sweetheart, you know how great it'll be for my grandson to experience another culture. He could learn another language, new customs.
I never thought of that. Got an extra paintbrush?
The time is now. Open up your life. Find out how to have a foreign exchange student live with you. Every family has something special to share. Go to hoststudents.org. That's hoststudents.org.
Imagine my grandson speaking Arabic.
Have you ever dreamed of being a karate master? Well, stop dreaming and start chopping with the Karate Glove.
Hi, my name's Molly, inventor of the Karate Glove, and I have just 1.5 words for you. Hi-yah!
The Karate Glove chops through anything. Just put it on and instantly chop through wood, concrete, brick walls, trees, small cars. It can even chop through these 8 guitars. It chops things.
If I can invent a karate glove, just imagine what you can do. Visit inventnow.org to get started on your invention. Anything's possible. Keep thinking.
Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
It's hi-ya time!
Come to the forest. It's a place not so far away. A place where you don't have to mow the lawn. Or babysit.
I saw lizards and squirrels and bugs.
Ladybugs, caterpillars. It's really cool, actually.
A place where you don't have to make time for free time.
Lots and lots of kinds of species here.
Out here, you may even meet the mysterious creature known as the other you. The enchanted you.
It's magic what flowers do.
The adventurous you.
My favorite tree, yes. That one.
The free to be me, you. Ask your parents to take you to this not so far away place. Come to the forest, where the other you lives. But first, stop by discovertheforest.org, a public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Now, back to Get Unstuck and Make Shift Happen with Jennifer Grace on Empower Radio.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. This is Jennifer Grace. And if you were just tuning in, welcome to my show. Of course, I always want you to check out www.jennifergrace.com/freestuff and check out this week's free masterclasses, free meditations, lots of goody-goody stuff. We're going to be doing some workshops this week all about how to manifest new love. And we also have a brand new 4-week course called Money and Miracles. It is a awesome 30-day experiment in manifesting money. So if you want to check that out, you can go to jennifergrace.com, go to online courses, Money and Miracles, and I am going to give you all a gift today. So use the promo code GIFT, which will give you 40% off of this awesome new class. All right. So today we are discussing sacred partnerships, real relationships, taking your current relationship to the next level, learning how to consciously communicate. And we will be ending the show with fun little tantra tips to spark up the bedroom. How fun is that? All right. So I have lots of really powerful communication tools for your toolbox that can really help you move from having drama in your relationship to having a lot of peace. So the things that we do in our relationships that usually get us into trouble is our tendency to add interpretations and judgments to what we observe, right? Or our tendency to blame or try to make another person responsible for how we are feeling, or our resistance to letting others know what we want, need, or what's really important to us, right? So think about this. A lot of times somebody does something and we make that mean something. Oh, that means you don't love me. You showed up late. That means you're cheating on me, right? We're making this interpretation judgment. Or we start to blame them because we're really angry. And so we're just blaming them and saying, you're a bad partner. You're doing this, you're doing that. And we're really not taking responsibility for our own feelings and actions. Or we keep our mouths shut. We internalize. We don't let the person know how we need to be romanticized, how we would like to be communicated with, how we want to be touched in the bedroom. We keep our mouths shut. And so then we're silently resenting our partner, but they're not mind readers. They have no idea that our needs and wants are not being met. So we have to learn to become conscious communicators. So when we're able to pause, you know, before we react and first identify what's going on beneath all the confrontational language, right? We can approach the situation with more compassion and understanding. And that's why the practice of meditation, mindfulness, journaling, all the things that I teach in all of my courses, you know, what that has you do is have the capacity to step outside of yourself, have the capacity for self-observation, you know, be the witness to you showing up, you know, crazy, really, being able to stop yourself in the midst of everything before you make up a story about what's going on when you don't know the facts, before you blame and shame and criticize, and before you stay silent, you know, to really, you know, like assess the situation. So when you can stop and really look at what's going on with more compassion and understanding, this approach can have many benefits. Okay. It can help us get more of our own needs met. It can help us better understand and meet our partner's needs. And it also allows us to be more fully appreciative and enjoying our relationships. So here are some tangible communication tools. And if you happen to have a piece of paper and a pen, you might want to jot these down. So the first is voice mirroring. When the person that you're in a disagreement with is talking, you can repeat back in your mind what they're saying it as they're saying it, right? So you're mirroring their voice. So if they're saying, you know, I went to the store and then I got some milk, and you're like, I went to the store and I got some milk, and then I came home and the door was locked, and I came home and the door was locked, and I asked you to keep it unlocked, and I asked you about, and so you're so busy repeating everything they're saying back in your head as they are saying it, it is impossible to do what? Interrupt them. You guessed it. That is probably the biggest igniter of an escalation of an argument, is people interrupting each other, talking over each other. It just causes more conflict. So the very act of simply voice mirroring, just listening without interrupting, is going to take that conflict from a 10 to a 2. The other person is also going to feel heard. They will feel heard. And how do you feel when you feel heard? A lot less angry, you know? And then you can do the second tool, which is active listening, right? So when a disagreement begins and you need to have this conversation prior and share these tools with your partner, one of you can say, can we please do active listening during this? I know you're upset about something, but can we practice active listening? Then each person gets a chance to speak without being interrupted. And you can practice the voice mirror technique, because you will be so busy mirroring back everything they're saying as they are saying it, you will not be able to cut them off. Once they're done saying their piece, they will then say, I am complete. This is the cue that the other person can then begin speaking. When they are done, then they can say, I am complete. If one person interrupts during active listening, the other person who was interrupted has the right to go into another room quietly for 5 minutes. When the person who interrupted is ready to listen, they can come back into the room and say to their partner, I'm sorry, I am ready to listen. So that alone, we could just stop there. If you utilize voice mirroring and active listening, your conflicts would literally decrease overnight. Now, obviously, you need two people to be on board with this. And if one person is not willing, you can just do this on your own, and you can be the conscious person, transcend everything, and model it for them. Don't get annoyed. Don't get pissed off that they're not doing it and you are, and you're better than them, and whatever the story is going on. You be the shining example of what conscious communication looks like, because then they have nothing to grab onto, right? You're giving them no fuel for their fire. You're just deeply listening to them with complete compassion. And then you can even repeat back what they said. So what I heard you say was, you're really angry that I didn't leave the door open and unlocked for you when you went to the store. Is that correct? Yes, that's correct. I got it. So in the future, I think what a great thing for me to do is to put a post-it up next to the door so that I don't lock you out again. Would that be a great idea? Oh, yeah. Argument's over. Even if they're interrupting you and doing all the old drama stuff, you can hold space for conscious communication. You can transcend. You can rise above the drama and be the example. The next tool is called put it in the basket, and this is a great tool for couples. So here's how it works. If, for example, your partner wants to get into it, right, about something, and you're tired or you're stressed out or you're hungry, and it's just not a good time for you to get into it, you have the right, and of course, this has been set up prior, not during a heated a heated argument. This is done where you sit down and you decide that you're going to partake in conscious communication tools. You share all of this knowledge with your partner. And then when there is a disagreement, you now both have the tools. Okay, so you have the right to say, if it's not a good time for you, you're hungry, tired, stressed out, you say to your partner, you know what? Let's put this in the basket, which means I want to wait for a better time to discuss this. Now, you can't do this out of avoidance, right? It really should be used when you know you're not at your best and you would rather be in a clearer state of mind when you are going to, you know, really get into this important matter. Then it's not over. Your partner gets to ask, when can we take it out of the basket? You then need to give them an exact date and time in the next few days as to when you will give this matter your full attention. And it probably should be within 24 hours. This is great if you are at an event also outside of your home and it's not appropriate to get into. You can just very quietly say to your partner, let's put this in the basket. When we get home, we can talk about it. This can avoid a lot of blow-ups, especially if you are not at your cognitive best. And, you know, if we're off, if we're tired or sleepy or hungry and stressed, like we're going to explode. So, you know, yourself and your partner should respect that. You would rather talk when you have a clear head. The next communication tool is called the 10 commitments, just like the 10 commandments for your relationship. You're going to create the 10 commitments. So, creating 10 commitments for your partnership that will be hung up somewhere. Refrigerator is great. Bedroom door is great. Somewhere where you don't forget what these commitments are. And these commitments can include agreements to not raise your voice when having a discussion. If someone does, the other person has the right to leave the room until the yelling person is ready to speak normally. It could be that you are both in agreement to the active listening technique, to the voice mirroring, that you're both in agreements that you can use the put it in the basket, that there would be no cursing at each other. And when one of the commitments is broken, like I said earlier, the other person has the right to leave the room for 5 minutes. And that gives the person that's broken the commitment a moment to reflect, to see how they can take their anger from a 10 to a 2. And when you come back in, you say, okay, I'm ready. I'm ready to talk again. Are you ready to listen? Another great tool is exchanging the rhetorical why for how come, right? So here, somebody says to their partner, why aren't you romantic? Okay, you're not going to get a good answer. That's blaming and shaming and criticizing. What I'd like you to try on this week is exchanging the why, the rhetorical why, for the inquisitive how come. So instead of why aren't you romantic, it might sound like how come, you know, it's so important for me, the little things that just makes me feel so good. How come it's really hard for you to express love in that way towards me when I've let you know that that's what I need? I need little notes. I need little surprise dates. I need flowers once in a blue. Like that really, that makes me feel loved. And I've expressed this to you. So how come it's hard for you to do that for me? And they might reply like, you know what? I think it's because I like to express love in this way. You know, there's something called the 5 languages of love, and it's a book. It's a great book for couples. It is a great way for you to understand what is your primary love language and what is your partner's primary love language, and then figure out that you need to become fluent in your partner's primary love language. So if their love language is gift giving, they love to receive gifts. you better believe it, you better become a good gift giver. And if vice versa, you are somebody who loves admiration and words, right? So your partner better really get good at saying, you look beautiful. I love that color on you. You know, I love you so much. Thank you so much for being in my life. They need words of admiration. So everybody has a different love language, and words of affirmation is one. Quality time is another. Quality time meaning giving your partner undivided attention, not like watching a movie on the couch together or going out to dinner and being your iPhone the entire night, right? Real quality time. Another language in love is receiving gifts, right? They love to receive gifts, but you know, what if the person, your partner says, well, I'm not a gift giver. You know, I didn't receive many gifts growing up and I never learned how to select gifts. It doesn't come naturally for me. Well, you need to figure it out. Right? Because if that is their language of love, you've got to figure it out. Don't you want them to feel loved in the way that they want to feel loved? The other one is acts of service, meaning doing things that you know that your partner would like you to do. It could be like cooking a meal, setting a table and emptying the dishwasher, picking up a prescription for them, keeping the car in good condition. These are acts of service and they require thought, planning, time, effort, energy. And if done in a positive spirit, they are indeed expressions of love. And the last is physical touch, right? We know that this is such a strong way of communicating emotional love. So that just means not sex, but it's about just, you know, grabbing your spouse's hand, giving them a loving foot massage, you know, touching their hair, just briefly kissing them. You know, they love that physical touch. So I think it's great to get this book or at least look up these five languages of love and definitely figure out what your partner's language of love is and then become proficient at it. The final tool that I want to share with you for communication comes from Marshall Rosenberg's technique of compassionate communication. And they've got nonviolent communication. There are books about this. There are groups. I mean, it's just amazing, incredible movement. But what it is really in three steps. Number one is observing a situation without judgment. Number two is discerning which emotions or feelings are being triggered in the current situation. And number three is connecting these emotions to underlying needs that aren't being addressed. And then finally making a reasonable request of the other person. So let's take an example. Say you have a partner who always interrupts you. Every time you're in the middle of the point, they cut you off. This leaves you frustrated and annoyed and wanting to unload back onto them, right? So when a person or situation triggers our lower frequency emotions, blame and negativity arrives, right? Blame is a reflexive response that helps us protect our egos and avoid the hard work of examining our own emotions, right? So the trouble is that blame and grumbling usually make bad situations even worse. So if we've decided that our partner is just hopelessly rude and we confront them about it with language that insinuates as such, like you are so freaking rude and I can't believe you do this and you're such an idiot, we are unlikely to inspire our partner to change their behavior, let alone what we get to hope, you know, to get from this situation. So if we start blaming and shaming and criticizing and making them wrong, our partner will probably just get defensive and throw blame right back at us. And then we wind up in the same frustrated, annoyed place where we started. When using compassionate communication, your first goal is to pause and observe what is happening. Ask yourself, what just happened? Okay, I was talking and my partner interrupted me. That's it. That's what happened. Now, next, you want to identify the feelings that reflexively cropped up for you. Ask yourself, 2, what am I feeling? Your answer is probably going to be frustrated and annoyed. And then the next step is to connect your feelings that you just observed and described with the deeper needs that underline them. So humans share several core needs, including physical nurturance, connection, and respect. This is a biggie. Most of our communication is an attempt to meet one of those needs. So when you describe your emotions with as much detail as you can, use words like anxious, rushed, overlooked, as opposed to bummed, right? Specific language will contain clues about the needs that are involved. So let's take your feelings about your partner. Do you feel intruded upon? Do you feel disrespected? Do you feel unheard? Do you feel insulted? If you feel disrespected or insulted, you may have a core need to be respected in the home. Reviewed in this context, the very nature of your irritation and frustration can become an important tool of self-discovery. Because once you connect with your deeper needs, you're more likely to recognize them, not as good or bad, but as human, right? Your natural empathy comes to the forefront. You're not a bad person for being annoyed by your partner. You simply need to be heard. And defensiveness and anger start to recede. Your partner's habit of interrupting isn't intended to drive you crazy. It just rubs you the wrong way because it steps on your important need of being respected. And it is from this place of greater empathy and receptivity for yourself that you can use the same questioning techniques to examine your partner's motivations and feelings and begin to recognize that the very human need is driving their behavior. So you might want to say, please don't interrupt me. Okay, don't say that. But rather, instead of saying, don't interrupt me, say, would you be willing to let me finish my thought before you begin speaking again? Okay. So it's a very different way of communication where you make a request, not a demand, just a request, and you state what your needs are. This is a very interesting model. So if you're interested in learning more about this, nonviolent communication by, Marshall Rosenberg. Very, very powerful. The last thing that I want to leave you with is some fun ways to kind of spice up your relationship in the bedroom, right? Isn't that fun? We love that. So the first thing is don't even be in the bedroom. Get out of the bedroom. And pick a different room. For the next couple months, the bedroom's off. When you want to go make love with your partner, your new game is to hit every room in the house. Now, if you have young children, this may not work, but if they've left the nest or, you know, try it during the daytime when nobody's home, that's a really fun thing to do, is to change it up. And instead of always being in the bedroom, try it in the kitchen, you know, go into another room. The other way to spice it up is to have it on the regular. You know, you should be making love at least 3 times a week, you know, and maybe you have to kind of get yourself there. But once you're there, it's awesome. Sometimes if you have a lot of kids and a lot of responsibilities, you might have to create the space and the time, but make that happen. The next is dress up. Don't save that lingerie, ladies, for Valentine's Day. Make every time a sexy, fun dress up. Try new positions. You can role play. You can go out on a date and meet your partner at a bar and pretend you don't know each other. Come up with new names for each other. You can also do erotica journaling. So you can get this like awesome notebook where you write erotic stories and love notes to your partner and leave it for them, and then they can reciprocate and do the same for you. Also, you can turn texting into sexting and be really playful during the day and tease your partner and make it fun and tell them you've got a surprise for them when they get home. And the last is communicating after sex, you know, and just letting them know, oh, I loved when you did that, or hey, next time, would you be open to trying this? I wouldn't really say what they did wrong. I would really stay on appreciation and what you did love and that you want more of that. And then also expressing your needs of what are your fantasies? What are things that you would love to try? And just have fun with it. And I also think, you know, Tantra is all about bringing the senses. So bring food into the bedroom, light the candles, you know, put on sexy music, set the mood, have fun with it. So between all of these new communication tools, from shifting from relationship to sacred partnership and spicing it up, you definitely will be able to take your love to the very next level. So that is our show today. Remember to check out the free stuff page at jennifergrace.com/free stuff, and that we've got our summer classes starting. So go to jennifergrace.com for the online Money and Miracles class and the CIJ classes that are going to be running this summer. And I hope you all have a fabulous week. This has been Jennifer Grace, and this is as real as it's gonna get.